91X News.
It's plus four and sunny at 4 o'clock from the QNET Newsroom. Good afternoon, I'm Callie Dorm. Local police and federal agents continue their search for details about the man who has staged a three-week bombing spree around Austin, Texas, before dying in an explosion in his own SUV early this morning. ABC's Jim Ryan says a search of the suspect's home has been completed.
Mark Anthony Condit lived with family members in the Austin suburb of Pflugerville. The police have checked that house for anything dangerous, including explosives, and they say they've found nothing. A few blocks away, streets around another address associated with Condit have been blocked off. Some homeowners have been evacuated as a more thorough search is done at this location.
Investigators believe Condit made all the four bombs that were planted around Austin this month and that killed two people and injured four others. American authorities say a 14-year-old girl in Canada has been charged with threatening a high school in New Hampshire. Police in Hanover, New Hampshire say they learned about an Instagram post early Tuesday morning that threatened Hanover High School and mentioned a shooting. They say the threat was traced to a home in Canada, but they won't say where. Investigators say Canadian officers executed a search warrant and seized electronic devices. The girl was arrested, but police officers offered no further details. The threat came a day after provincial police announced charges against five teens with threatening schools in Ontario in the weeks since the massacre at Florida High School last month. Sergeant Peter Leon of the Ontario Provincial Police says those executed also used Instagram. Experts have said online threats tend to spike after high-profile school shootings. Amy Morrison, a professor of digital media at the University of Waterloo, said Tuesday that some teens make threats on social media in an attempt to gain notoriety and garner a larger following. A Cambridge University researcher who worked with Cambridge Analytica to harvest data from Facebook users claims he has been made a scapegoat. Charles de Ledesma has more.
A psychology academic who developed an app used by Cambridge Analytica to harvest data from millions of Facebook users says he had no idea his material would be used in Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign and that he's been scapegoated in the affair. Alexander Cogan told the BBC that both Facebook and Cambridge Analytica have tried to place the blame on him for violating the social media platform's terms of service when he'd been assured that everything he did was appropriate. Cogan says CA had approached him about the app, and in retrospect, he should have asked the company more questions about how the data would be used. Charles de Ledesma, London.
The Hastings Prince Edward Poverty Roundtable released a report on poverty's causes and solutions in the area. Rachel Bell has more.
Loretta Tweed of Belleville shared her story of struggle at yesterday's meeting. She said she wasn't able to afford a bus pass this month.
A lot of people, it's because the month is longer. And January and February were pretty rough. But this month, I should have got my bus pass sooner, but I kind of let it go and then you spend the money. Sometimes it's like, okay, I could take that and buy food, right? Like, they're constantly trying to prioritize.
The report contains information gathered when members of the roundtable spoke with over 400 people who have experienced poverty or are currently in that situation. Christine Durant, director of the Poverty Roundtable, said it is important to speak with people who know what it's like to struggle.
The report is really about what people's experiences are in poverty, and that experience is expertise. And that if we want to look at ending poverty, the solution really is with those who experience it, who know it deeply.
The goal of the report is to help the community better understand how to address poverty in the community and make changes in the right direction. Rachel Bell, QNET News, Belleville.
On Tuesday night, Loyalist College held a second local news initiative forum. It was held in Northumberland County at the Victoria Hall in Cobourg. Tyson Naylor has the story.
Well over 100 local reporters and members of the community came to share their voices and opinions on the current state of local news and how we can shape its future. Loyalist grad Tony Grace moderated the event.
Okay, so things have changed. Traditional institutions in the form of newspapers have disappeared. But what we're hearing in the room is that there are still professional journalists, professional writers living in your community, practicing their craft, holding people accountable, asking questions. So what would you like to see done to make sure that their work gets in front of your eyeballs?
Many were worried about the present landscape for local news, while others were more optimistic. Rosa Ortega is the director of Newcomer Radio, as well as the founder of the Northumberland Hispanic Cultural Club. She gave us her perspective on why local news is important to the community.
The people wouldn't have the view of what is going on now in our community. I know particularly, for example, in what is about immigrants, right? The Hispanic community, for example, is growing. And when I have opportunity to talk with members of our community, they don't have idea. They don't know anything about what we are doing, events and doing things to engage. And the idea is to engage with Canada and all the stuff, right? So I found this kind of activities, being together to find a way to find a solution for that, this is very important, right?
The tempest over U.S. President Donald Trump's congratulatory phone call to Vladimir Putin quickly grew an uproar today over White House leaks.
The West Wing is stunned after another major leak. The Washington Post reported that President Trump ignored the advice of his national security advisors when he congratulated Russian President Putin on his re-election. The Post said the words "do not congratulate" were written in all caps in his briefing materials. The president said this in the Oval Office Tuesday.
I had a call with President Putin and congratulated him on the victory, his electoral victory.
An administration official tells ABC if the Post story is accurate, it means someone leaked the president's briefing papers, which they say is a fireable offense and likely illegal. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
That's QNET. That's QNET News on 91X 2405. Sports is next.
Split Second Printing's 40 years of experience has made them ready for anything.
Can you print my soccer flyers?
Sure.
How about my poster?
Student council? Nice. No problem.
What about my prom banner?
Done and done. And we'll even help carry it out.
From business cards to large-scale architectural drawings, Split Second Printing has you covered. They'll even help lay out and print your portfolio so it'll really stand out. 59 Dundas Street East, Belleville, or split-second.ca.
In sports, Ottawa Senators captain Eric Carlson and his wife Melinda are expressing thanks for the support they have received after the death of their son. The Carlsons posted a message Wednesday on Twitter thanking the public for offering love and support and respecting their privacy. The message confirmed that their son Axel was stillborn. The 27-year-old star defenseman and his wife announced in November that they were expecting their first child. Carlson's teammates rallied around him after last night's game against Florida. In Ontario junior hockey, the Cobra Cougars will be playing the Aurora Tigers tonight at 7:30. The Wellington Dukes will also be playing tonight against the Newmarket Hurricane. The Montreal Canadiens visit the Pittsburgh Penguins as part of tonight's NHL action. The Canadiens are well out of the playoff picture, but they can be a thorn in the side of the Penguins, who are scrapping with Columbus for second place in Metropolitan Division. The Calgary Flames look to boost their fading playoff hopes when they host the Anaheim Ducks in NHL action tonight. The Flames are 6 points behind the Ducks for the final Western Conference playoff spot, with Dallas and St. Louis between the teams. The Toronto Raptors are in Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers in NBA action tonight. A Raptors win would end Cleveland's slim chances of finishing first in the Eastern Conference. Toronto enters the contest with a 5-game lead over second-place Boston in the conference standings. In world women's curling action, Canada meets Sweden this evening in what could be a battle of unbeaten teams, depending on how Jennifer Jones' team does against South Korea this afternoon. Send us your team or league scores. Email qnetnewsdesk at gmail.com. The forecast for Belleville: tonight is a low of -5. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and cloud with a high of +5. At 4:07, it's +4. QNET News on the air on 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Callie Dorn, QNET News. Next at 5:00.